Please turn your Bible to Psalm 37 as we continue the attitude of worship from the Psalms. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wickedness, devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers are going to be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. But the Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. And the wicked have drawn out the sword, have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart instead, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and they shall consume into smoke. They shall consume away. Puff. Just gone. The wicked borrows and doesn't pay back again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, and he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'd like you to put a little check mark or something right there, because he begins a discussion with the reader right now and the listener that could really change our lives, all of our lives. If you've never seen it before right there. I was young, but now I'm old. And in chapter of the Psalms 38, 39, 40, and 41, he begins talking about the failure of his body, and he begins talking about his ears are going out, his speech is going out, his eyes are going out, his heart is going out, his bones are going out, and his flesh stinks. And I want you, as we read this through, just make a little check mark or take a note of every verse you see that he's describing something that's going on in himself. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and he lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. Now this is an older king, and he's telling us some real keys to success right here and prosperity. He's telling you how to really succeed in life if you pick up on the words he's saying. There's a lot of simple keys that you can just pick up and put them in the doors of life and go around San Diego and prosper. So he's saying, I was young, now I'm old, and I want to point a couple of things out to you. One of them, first of all, would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you'll turn there, in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. So he talks about your whole, not partial or part or dismembered. It's a complete unit, your whole spirit, soul, and body. So you're a three-dimensional being, and you may just be feeding your body, and you may just be feeding your soul, the soulish thing. So you have a worldly appetite, And you may be once in a while feeding your spirit, but your spirit is what's going to live forever. And your body is just going to vaporize like this puff of smoke that he just showed us. Okay, so I want you to circle that. Very strong key. If we start this study with you looking at body, soul, and spirit, and as I'm teaching, maybe you can say, wow, I'm really deficient in this area. I'm really weak in this area, and I'm super weak in that area. And you can separate and let the Holy Spirit show you body, soul, and spirit. Okay? Now turn to 3 John. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And that's right before the little book of Jude and then the book of Revelation, if you've never studied this before. 3rd Epistle of John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then the book of little epistle of Jude and then the book of Revelation. So 3 John is only a 14-verse epistle, but look what he says in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So these people were prospering soulishly, their physical being he was concerned about. So you are a three-dimensional character, but if you have not been born again, and we'll give you an opportunity, you don't need to even wait, you can just cry out to God anytime tonight and say, please forgive me of my sins, and I want to be born again. I want you to make my spirit new, Lord. And he'll give you a second birth. So here he is, after the cross, talking about the Spirit, with St. Paul talking about the coming of Jesus, that he can keep you blameless until Jesus comes, with your whole spirit, body, and soul. All three dimensions would be filled with God. And then in John, he tells us here about the soul and the body. So, of course, this is the great psalm that musicians hate, because it says you're not supposed to play the guitar. So three times, if you saw Psalm 37, it starts out with "fret not." So that was it. So Stephen actually plays the piano, I think. Where'd he go? We lost him. Yeah, I see he's angry because he likes to play the guitar. So fret not yourself because of evildoers. But how often do we get? I know I do. Do we get frustrated because the wicked people seem to prosper? You know, don't fret because of evildoers. God's going to deal with those people. He's going to deal with them very strongly and severely. For they shall soon be cut down. And here's, okay, first key, all right? Trust in the Lord. There's a key to successful living. And maybe you are a person that trusts in the Lord, but possibly you're a person that has never trusted in the Lord. And how do you trust in the Lord if you don't know him? Well, trusting in the Lord is a step towards real prosperity, because now you don't need trust in yourself or money or the things of this world, but you can trust him for everything. So he's only going to bring you the best. So number one, trust in the Lord. Secondly, do good. Quit doing bad things. Do good. So it's an emphasis on you doing something, and the something is good. So you're going to be proactive. You shall dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Otherwise, God's going to take you into the spiritual realm, and he's going to take care of you. Here's another key, verse 4, the word delight. So there's another key. Delight yourself in the Lord. You're going to trust in him, and you're going to do good. But now you're going to delight in him. Think of things that you delight in. In-N-Out Burgers, Baskin-Robbins, a triple-decker. Come on. Just think of all the things you delight in. Surfing. The things that are fun are the things that you delight in, right? So now you're going to delight yourself also, so he's tying it together with trust, in the Lord. And what will happen if you delight? You already know what's going to happen if you trust and do good. He's going to provide everything for you. When you delight yourself, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now that's cool. Some people really strive their whole lives to trying to get things, and they aren't really the things that they desire in their heart. But when you have a desire in your heart and you're delighting in God, he's going to bring that to you. Okay, what's the next key he gives you? Thirdly, commit. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Second time trust. And what will he do? He'll bring it to pass. So now you commit your way. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to this college next year, or I'm going to invest in this, or I'm going to take this new job, or I'm going to date this person. You commit all of your life to him in every situation, and he's going to direct your path so you don't make mistakes. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Now here's the next key, verse 7, rest. This is the hardest one for Christian people, is to rest. For anybody, really, to slow down and rest and wait upon the Lord. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not, you guitar players, thyself, because of him who prospers in his way. And then down in verse 11, Jesus quoted this on the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he? Would you read it out loud with me, verse 11? But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, when you're resting in the Lord, you're going to get an abundance of peace. Now, here is another blessing, verse 16, that I'd like you to memorize and get to know in your life, because this will really help you from striving for things. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Just a little bit that you might have, and you're a righteous person, you got it all honestly, is better than all the filth money that people have. I remember years ago when we were buying Horizon Park Chapel down at 6th and Fir, one of the reasons is because there was this huge situation down right across the street from 6th and Fir with the homosexuals and pedophiles coming on their lunch hours in their Porsches and Lexus and their cars and picking up runaway boys and going off into the bushes or into their cars and having sex with them. So we moved the School of Evangelism down there, and they went out onto the streets and they went into the deal, and they led a lot of these young kids to the Lord, and we bought them tickets, called their moms and dads, sent them back home, the runaways. A lot of boys coming across the border from Tijuana to make money from having sex with men so they could go back and feed their families. And it was an ugly mess. And the city wasn't doing anything about it very much. And then Channel 8, Channel 10, and some of the other news people went down to video it and made it a news issue, but not because of the sin that was going on, because righteous men in our city were going down there and taking photographs of the people and photographing the license plates of the cars. And they were handing out flyers saying, "This man that works in your building is having sex with boys in the park." So at the same time that that was going on, we were starting Horizon out at Fairbanks Ranch. So we held our services for about a year at the Hilton Hotel in Del Mar, and then I'd drive back and forth between do the services, and a woman came up to me and says, "I'm a professional photographer." And I said, "Oh, that's nice." She said, "You know this issue with the boys in the park?" She said, "Yes, we're doing a lot to help these boys." She said, "I'm really shocked. I don't know what to do. I live in Rancho Santa Fe." And I said, "Well, I'm really happy to hear that. We're moving into Fairbanks Ranch. There'll be a church right there at the border of Fairbanks and Rancho Santa Fe for you and your neighbors." And she said, "Well, the problem I'm having is that I was invited to a cocktail party last week. And they asked me to do professional photos of all the guests. And I was shocked because I took photos and I realized the man that owned the big mansion, I have photographs in my dark room of him picking up boys in the park. You know, I'd rather have just a little bit that I got the right way and in righteousness than have all the wealth of the wicked of our city." And that's what he's saying. Be satisfied with what you got. You got it honestly. Some of the people that you're envying or wishing you could have what they have, they probably got it dishonestly. And if not getting it dishonestly, they could sure be promoting dishonest and wicked things. Rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. These are all keys to having a successful life. A little that a righteous man has is better than all the riches of many wicked. And then the wicked, verse 20, shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and they shall consume into smoke, and they shall consume away. Just the wicked are just going to be a puff of smoke when the judgment comes. But do you want to be that? Come on. You don't want to be that. The wicked borrows and doesn't repay. Steals from the people he borrows from. But look at this. Would you read that last sentence out loud of there? But the righteous shows mercy and gives. The righteous is a giver. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let me read a nice little card that came to us, because your majority of you are righteous people and you're givers. And this is from Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, from the Katrina situation that many of you went week after week, and you fed thousands and thousands of people. We were helping with about 5,000 meals every day for months and months. And we gave about $90,000 as a church to the chief of police in Bay St. Louis and the deputy chief and his wife, who she happens to be a police officer in Waveland, that got wiped out completely. And they came to thank Horizon for what they did. And we were able to give some of these cops these Sears Roebuck cards that the chief found out how much everybody needed. And every cop and dispatcher and secretary in the Bay St. Louis Police Department got a card from you and your gifts. Now listen to this card. To the congregation and pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, my husband Matthew and I and our son Braden would like to thank you for the Sears gift cards. We were able to buy the appliances needed for our home. We would not have been able to if it were not for your generosity. My husband would like to thank you for the meals and the support after the storm. It kept him fed and going. I'm thankful also as at the home I was 4.5 months pregnant with our son and was unable to be with him. I am glad there are people like you, and I know the Lord has blessed all of us. Thank you from the Father, the Son, and not the Holy Spirit, but the wife, all three of them. Now that's somebody, a police officer was able to do his job. They were able to buy their appliances. She was able to deliver her baby. They had food. They were able to do good just because of this verse. The righteous shows mercy and gives. So don't be stingy in your giving. I mean, that's one person that wrote you to say thank you out of the hundreds that have written this, that have said thank you. But for the city of Bay St. Louis to give this church the flag that flew over City Hall before the storm hit, what an honor for you as a people to have the deputy police chief to personally show up and say thank you from the bottom of our heart. Do you know, Mrs. Deputy Chief, she was in her police department and the eye of the hurricane made a turn apparently and went right by Waveland, but the storm, the power of the storm blew right through the city, and she and 4 or 5 other police officers ran to a big bush like a tree, and they hung on that tree for their life as the winds were blowing, and then the water started rising, and the higher the water got, they kept climbing up higher. They hung on for dear life through the wind and through the rain and all the debris that was flowing. And she said, we had about that much left at the top of the tree. No place else to go. The water had gone up so high. And some of the people dropped off and swam somewhere. She wasn't sure where. But she waited 6 hours in that storm. Imagine that. And then to be blessed by a group of people in San Diego she's never seen or met before. So maybe you never give anything when an offering bag goes around. Or maybe you give 50 cents in a year or $500 in a year or something, you know. The minimum that the people in the Bible gave was 10%. You make 100 grand, here, Lord, take 10. You make a grand, here, Lord, take 100. You make $5, here, Lord, take 50 cents. But that isn't what they gave. They had free will offerings. They just gave and gave and gave and gave, and God kept blessing. Here's a real live person from a world news story, the worst storm in history for us, and they are thanking you for your giving. You're honored people because you're givers. The righteous show mercy and they give. Now remember, body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit can prosper, your soul can prosper, and your body can prosper. Now look at the promise about God. He is ever, verse 26, He is ever merciful. This is the good guy, rather, not God yet. And lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, do good. So there's another key. Go away from, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. He'll never forsake you. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land. The law of his God is in his heart. Now, what does he mean? Well, in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, King David says, Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. If you aren't in the habit of memorizing Bible verses, this is what it's talking about. Hide God's word in your heart. Memorize it. And if all books were taken away, you would still know the word of God. Try to memorize what speaks to your heart when it is on the written page. Psalm 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, neither chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows stick fast in me, and your hand presses me sore. In verse 1, he's basically saying, don't deal with me if you're angry at me. Be gentle with me. Do you know the Lord could just snap a finger right now? We could all die just from the reverberation of the snapping of his finger. Do you know you could get up right now, and he could have an angel just walk by you and flap a wing one time. You're gone. That's it. Just... God, please, please, be gentle when you deal with me. That's what he's saying. Lord, don't be angry. If I've upset you, don't deal with me. Wait till your temper calms down or whatever. But he's just saying, please, don't hurt me. And then he says in verse 2, he's had some experience with being dealt with by the Lord. Now, some of you have had experience of being dealt with by the Lord, but you don't know it's the Lord. Maybe even this very day you're being dealt with by the Lord, and you don't know it's the Lord. But it is the Lord dealing with you until you see what he's talking to you about. And when you see and you can repent of it, sin, then he could release you. Look what he uses here for an analogy. Your arrows stick in me. So God's shooting arrows at us. Man, that's what it feels like. It's a picture. It's like, oh, I've been wounded. But the Lord's dealing with David. David had a problem with sex and women. David had a problem with anger. David was a mighty warrior, and God used his gifts and talents as a warrior. But he's saying, it's like arrows are in me, and your hand is pressing upon me. So if you feel like tonight there's a hand on you, it's the Lord. You feel like, oh, there's something going on. I can't put my finger on it. The Lord may be pressing on you just to say, give it up. Would you give it up and release this stupid thing in your life? And so David is saying, deal with me gently. There is no soundness in my flesh. Okay, now here starts the role of his body and his soul. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. So he's got sickness because God's upset. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Now he's making a general statement in one sense. For any of us, there's all the way to the bones, we will never have rest if we're living in sin. You know, you have to be really careful. If you're into something, God's going to let those arrows go, and he's going to press upon you, and he's going to deal with you. And this guy says, my bones. There's no rest in my bones. Well, there's some sin going on that you're holding on to. Could just be your vain imaginations. But if his bones are aching, don't you find it interesting that in the book of Hebrews, it tells us God has the remedy? For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the joints and the marrow of the bones. It discerns your thoughts, the intent of your heart, and it goes right past the flesh and the muscles and the sinew, right past the arteries and the veins, right down past the fascia into the very bone itself and drills right into the marrow, the very substance of gel that's down there that coagulates to allow you to be a standing person. Now, there's the remedy right there. David is saying, my bones. But God says, hey, I've got the remedy for aching bones here and a broken heart. It's the Word of God. And I'll send my son to live out the Word of God so you can see that you can live out the Word of God. Now, notice how he goes on about this. For my iniquities are gone over my head. He's swamped. He's just overwhelmed that his sin is, that he can't do anything right. He's just overwhelmed by his sin. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Now look at, he's going to talk about health versus soul. He's talking about his health now. But if you'll look with spiritual eyes, he could be pumping iron when he's writing this and be really physically healthy. But he's talking about a man that's in revival. If you really want to see God and know God, he's got to do open heart surgery on you. And you have to look in and see how filthy you are and how black your heart is. There's no good thing that dwells in any of us, for we're all corrupt. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from his sin. So I want you to just hold your finger right there, or the person next to you just reach over and put their finger there. And look at Psalm 42. Look at Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, he's not talking about his body in Psalm 42. He's talking about his body in Psalm 38 and 39 and 40. And then he shifts gears into the soul. And boy, is television full of things to get your soul. Is music full of things to get your soul? Is advertising all about your body and your soul? Nothing about the spirit. Nothing at all. So here he is about his body, the health versus the soul. Look at this. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. So what kind of physical ailment did he have because of foolishness? Was it sexual perverseness? Was it sexual promiscuity? We know he had lots of women in his life, but whatever it is, it stinks. His flesh is stinking from this disease. That's pretty foul when you stop and think of it. My iniquities are over my head, so I'm just psychologically wiped out. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. And when you're a young man or a young woman, we do foolish things. I had a lot of foolish, wasted weekends in my life before I met Jesus Christ. And David is just reminding us, don't make foolish decisions. Commit your ways. Trust in the Lord. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Give what you have. Be a righteous person. And he says, I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. So now he smells. His bones are restless and inside he's uncomfortable. He feels pressure on him that God's hand is upon him. He knows what's wrong, but he is so proud he can't say, take it, Lord. And then he comes and says, my wounds stink, I'm troubled, and I'm bowed. So he's bent over. He's an old guy, just shuffling along. But if you're following us on Sunday morning, he's a young dude. Man, he pulls out the sword of a 10-foot giant, lops off the giant's head. He goes running from Saul to the house of the Lord and says to Abiathar's son, do you have any weapons here? And he says, well, I just got the sword that you took away from Goliath. And he gives it to him. And boy, David was strong and healthy, and now he's at the backside. We all end up here. We'll all end up here. And here's the clue. Take the promises that the Bible gives us, invest them to your memory that go down into your heart, and when you get to the backside of life, you'll have a lot of investments there to make you through. I was with the police one night when an old guy wanted to kill a cop. I tried for 2 hours. I didn't sleep for 9 weeks after this. It was hell. I mean, literally, I always slept for an hour or something, but I'd hear this guy scream, if you weren't there, I wouldn't be in hell. And this guy wanted, it's called suicide by a cop. People do something, the cops are so patient. And the SWAT team came, and I kept saying, put the gun down. And he'd start to put the gun, oh, no, I know where it is, and he'd stick it to his heart. No, no, you don't want to do that. Come on, let's talk about this. And put the gun down. Start to put the gun down and stick it in his groin. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And finally, when they went in, he tried to shoot cops, and they had to kill him. Well, when you're old, and you don't know the Lord, and your sickness stinks, and you're restless inside, and your bones ache, and your flesh is rotting, and you are overwhelmed with 80 years worth of life that was vain and empty, as rich as you want to be, and this was one of San Diego's wealthy pillars of the community, all that money and all that wealth, it meant nothing when he was at his deathbed, but he could not sit still and rest in the Lord. He had to take his own life. Invest now while you're lucid in your mind. Memorize these scriptures, and that'll destroy the Alzheimer's. Work with the memory bank right now. Get those things clicking and memorize the Psalms. Memorize the Proverbs. David's helping us out here. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. Oh, come on, Dave. You're giving us too much information here. There's no soundness in my flesh. He's sick. He's a sick dude. He's a sick puppy. I am feeble. So now, no strength in his legs to hold him up, and no strength. He's probably shaking a little bit. Maybe a little Parkinson's going on or something. He's saying, I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Oh, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my groaning is not hid from you. You see it, Lord. You see what I'm going through. My heart pants. His heart pants. Let's go back to Psalm 42, verse 1 again. As the heart, now that's the deer, different heart, pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after, and thirsty for you, O God. I'm thirsting for you. And here's why David is a man after the Lord's own heart. When he was young as a teenager, he worshiped God. He was obedient to his mother and father. When he became a young man and became a leader to the disgruntled, he was a warrior and he gave honor to God. As we saw last Sunday morning, when he could have killed Saul in the cave, he just cut off an edge of his robe while Saul was going to the bathroom and didn't even know David that was that close to him. And when Saul left that cave, he stood and said, oh, King Saul, look at this. If I were your enemy, I could have killed you, but I've got part of your robe right here. And Saul looked at his robe. It's missing a piece. Truly, you are the king of Israel and God will give you my throne. Because if you were my enemy, you would have killed me when you had chance. And he left David alone from that day. Now, David is like all of you, they're young men and women, strong, healthy. All the options are yours. Your money is yours. Your health is yours. Your life is yours. But you're going to be an old man or an old lady someday. And if you don't invest in the Lord now, and you don't have the Lord when your loins are filled with loathsome sores or whatever, You're going to wish you were dead, and you may even kill yourself because you have no hope. Because in Psalm 42, though he cries out, I'm like a deer panting in a hot summer day, trying to lap up some water from a clear river or a brook coming through the mountains, I thirst for you, God. You are my focus. I say to my soul, why are you disquieted within me, O my soul? Hope thou in God. So David found the answer. As sick as you could be tonight, physically, as confused and as overwhelmed as you could be tonight, psychologically and emotionally, as messed up as you could be in any area of your life tonight, if God is there, he can sort it all out. And he can put you back together again. I am troubled, I'm bowed over, my loins are filled, I'm feeble and sore by reason of I'm roaring, and you know all my groanings. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Now, isn't that interesting? My lovers and my friends and all my family stick away from my sore. Whatever he has, sickness, illness, or disease, they don't want to get near him and catch it at all. Now, isn't this interesting that when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for you, it said all of his disciples stood afar off from the cross. Even Mother Mary went away from Jesus. There will be a time when every one of us are totally alone when we're taking our last breath. Oh, we may be aware before we go unconscious there's people around our bed, but when we take our last breath and we're down that valley of shadow of death and that tunnel gets more narrow and that gate gets a little bit narrower and you're wondering if you're going to make it through that one, you're the only one that's going to experience that. Nobody else that you love will even experience that. No one. No one. Jesus went alone from this earth to heaven. You will go along. Oh, you'll go with love. I remember a Saturday night I went to see a family out in Lemon Grove that went to the church, and dad was dying of cancer and had been a long bout. And so they said, he's not going to make it. Tonight will be the night, they've told us from hospice. Would you come and read scripture? And you know, it was so sweet that we all held hands for 2 or 3 hours and we sang songs. We prayed for him. We all took turns reading the scripture. When that man took his last breath, that loving family, wow. It was just, the room was filled. And yet I've been by deathbeds of crotchety people, young and old alike. No way did they know the Lord, and no way was there any real hope to say anything positive in that room when it happened. I remember our good friend Jack Vanderspeck. Jack is from Escondido. And I remember he said, Mike, when the church first started, you've got to start a church in Escondido. I said, no, only way I'd do is Chuck Smith told me it's okay to do it. He said, all right, I'm driving with you to see Chuck Smith. So we went up to see Chuck. And I didn't want Chuck to think I was being disobedient. I wanted to focus on this, what he was doing. And I kept hearing Jack say, yeah, and Mike needs to come here, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Chuck turns and looks at me. I'm getting ready for him to say, what are you doing? Keep focused. And Chuck says, well, Mike, it looks like God's given you the whole county of San Diego. And he prophesied to me. Wow, you think so? Yeah, go do that study. Well, I remember Jack owned the gas station on Rose and Valley Parkway, across from the old Vineyard Mall that was in Escondido back in the 70s and 80s. And Jack was waiting to sell that gas station, that service station. He is from Holland. And he came to the church because his kids came to the church. And he was in the very first Sunday service that we ever held at the Ocean Beach Women's Club with 40 people. And Jack just fell in love with all the young people that were getting saved in San Diego. And he had such a strong Dutch accent. And whenever I was in trouble, he felt that it was his duty from God to come up and let me know. And he'd always start out the subject matter this way, Vel, Michael. And whenever he said, Vel, Michael, I knew I was going to get spanked by the Lord here. Something was coming. Well, he finally sold Jack's service station, Jack's gas station, whatever it was called. And gas was 68 cents a gallon, and Jack and I were good friends. Jack retires, and he and Lenny sell the service station in Escondido, and they move to Amsterdam and join Youth with a Mission. He's 68 years old, and he's Youth with a Mission? Jack, what are you doing? So in about 1986, I get a call, and I'm preaching in Scotland, and Jack has cancer. And Jack has requested that I'd come to Amsterdam to the hospital before he dies. So I flew over from Scotland, went to Amsterdam, went to the hospital, spent 2 days with Jack before he died. And the day before he died, he says, I want to pray for all my children. I think Jack and Lenny have 5 children. And I want to lay hands on you, like Jacob blessing all of his children. And he said, Micah, I want you first. And I said, no, your sons. He said, no, you are my son, and I want to bless you. And I can never forget Jack's hand going on my head and him praying that San Diego would be blessed through our ministry. And the tens of thousands in San Diego would come to know Jesus Christ. And I think of the money that Jack and Lenny would give when we were trying to buy the North Park Theater, or we wanted to do an evangelistic event down at the sports arena or something. They were always right there to serve. They were righteous people. And the blessings were there. Look what he says here. Yay, my own familiar friend. Imagine when I came home and I got a call the next night. I got back into the States on Wednesday night, I think, and about 11:30, the phone rang. It was Jack. Vel, Michael? I said, oh, what? It's so good to have you here. Jack, that was so sweet that you laid hands on me. Vel, Michael, I'm on my way to see Jesus, and I'm going to tell him about you and what you're doing in San Diego. Vel, Jack, tell him I need all the help I can get, please. Yeah. But there will be that time that when it comes to death, it's only you. By this I know that you have favored me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Psalm 39. I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now listen to this. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire burned. Then spoke I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. This is a prayer you want to pray. Lord, give me an idea of where I am in life. I'm 20 years old, I'm 30 years old, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 80. And show me my days. And let me see how frail I am. You know, you could be Mr. Buff right now, but still in God's eyes, you're frail. He could just have a sparrow dive bomb you and hit your windshield. Boom, that sparrow could take you and your biceps out, just like that. No matter if you work out at God's gym or who's ever gym, you know, you can't trust in your flesh. We're all frail. We're all frail. When he says it's over, no negotiating. It's over. So delight yourself in him right now. So this is a great prayer. Let me know my end. Yeah, I'm going to die someday. Okay? And the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, you have made my days as a handbreadth, about this long, and my age is nothing before you. Now, David is an old guy here. I'm moaning. Every part of his body is sick. And he's an old guy, and he says, my days, and the older you get, the faster time seems to go, but you realize my youth was so short. Oh, I wish I hadn't wasted it. And he says, really, it's about this big. And my age, his age is 70 or whatever, was nothing to God. A day is equal to 1,000 years in the eyes of the Lord. 1,000 years is equal to one day. So David's, oh, I ache. I'm such an old dude. I guess it doesn't make any difference, does it, God? No, not at all. This is just a blink to God. Your whole life is just a blink. And there's billions of people have gone before all of us, and we'll all be in the grave someday. And there'll be another group should Jesus tarry. So the key is to understand you're alive. And you're not with Keanu Reeves in a matrix here. This is real. But the whole system around you is a lie and is designed to keep you looking at yourself and thinking you're pretty when the world sees you're going to be a statistic. And you're going to be one of the statistics that 100% of all people born on this planet die. 100% that are alive today will be dead someday. It's all a scam and a puff of smoke. Don't live for your flesh. Live for the eternal kingdom of God. Surely every man walks in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heaps up riches and he does not know who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. Why am I waiting anymore to die? I'm just going to hope in you and I'm going to enjoy life. My old age, my young age, my teen years, my 20s, whatever. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, so I opened not my mouth because you did it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. Wow. God knocked him down. God gave him a stroke. When you with rebukes does correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty to consume away like a moth. Have you ever seen a friend that you hadn't seen for a while? And they've been using dope or whatever, you know, getting stoned and or drunk or whatever. And you see them, they look like death warmed over. When God's dealing with somebody, all the vibrancy of their life begins to dissipate. You don't want that to happen to you. There's nothing matter with getting old. But when the vibrancy of life is not benefiting mankind, God deals with you and you have it taken from you. And all of a sudden you start shriveling up and things start going wrong. You need to wake up if God's speaking to you. Surely man is vain. When you rebuke, verse 11, does correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not your peace from my tears. O spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence, get hence, and be no more. Before I die, can I have one more chance? Can I have one more chance before I die? And that's what happened to me. 1969, overdosing on drugs, a bag over my head, hands tied by my back, a gun at my head. I thought that was it. Gun goes off in the air or whatever. I end up in a mental hospital 2 years thinking the left side of my face is blowing off. Pure agony in hell every day thinking I'm dead. Taking the doctors and medication 2 years to get me to a place to say, okay, I'm alive, but why is the left side of my face missing? Until God called me. And when the pastor and the elders of that church laid hands on me, I was instantly healed. Could you give me one more chance, Lord? One more chance. I'll never go back to that lifestyle again. Please, one more chance. And that's why I'm here today. I'm a living being that was given one more chance, and I want to tell the whole world that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and he can do anything in your life. If you'll delight yourself in him and commit your ways to him, he will make it come to pass. You can do nothing in this world. The devil's controlling this world. But the Lord can do everything for you. All things are possible through Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible with God. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give me another chance. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard me. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see and fear. Blessed is that man. Which man? This is the one you want to be. Blessed is that woman that makes the Lord his trust. I remember three Psalms ago, he said, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Now he says, the blessed human being is the person that puts his trust into the Lord. And he respects not the proud, nor such as turn away to the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are towards us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto you. I would declare and speak of them. Your thoughts are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did desire. Now we hear Christ, Jesus is speaking. Mine ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. And then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That's Jesus speaking right there. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. You know this. I have not hid my righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You know, you and I belong to a great congregation that's in Uganda. It's all over the African continent. It's in the Middle East. It's all over the Middle East. It's in South America, Central America, North America. The whole planet is God's great congregation. Then he has a huge congregation of your family and friends that are up in heaven. And you don't want to ever be told that you didn't declare the good things that God has done for you and your family and how much Jesus loves you and how strong he is. And though your body is filled with loathsome sores, you don't want to stick a gun to your head and commit suicide. You want to praise the Lord and say, Lord, thank God that even in my old age on my deathbed, you're dealing with my sin. You still want me to be purged so that I can enter into the kingdom of God. When the time to get upset is when God quits speaking to you. That's when you get upset. Boy, I haven't heard from God in a long time. Whoa. Don't deal with me in your hot displeasure, your anger, Lord. Why aren't you talking to me? Well, you've been silent to me for years, so I'll give you the silent treatment maybe, huh? No, you want to hear God. You know, despise not the chastening of the Lord, for those whom he loves, he chastens. If God didn't love you, he wouldn't put the finger on you and say, hey, he wouldn't press down on you. He wouldn't be talking here and he wouldn't be tugging here. And your gut wouldn't be feeling that wrench in it. And the hard thing in our generation is that so many of us have never had a dad. So we don't know what confrontation is really about. And we don't really confront. But God confronts. But he's not going to do it in his anger or his hot displeasure as the psalmist cries out. I'll tell the great congregation all the great things that you have done. Verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold. Therefore my heart fails me. So now he's got heart trouble. Be pleased, O Lord. Deliver me, O Lord. Make haste. Hurry up and help me. And then Psalm verse 16, let all those that seek you rejoice. So Stephen, if you want to come and we'll all start rejoicing in music right now. Let all of those that seek you rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You want to say that? The Lord be magnified. Continually. The Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. The Lord be... Okay, you get the point. Okay. But I am poor and I'm needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Blessed is he that considers the poor people. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. God will look after you if you're a giver. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul. So next week we're going to look at the soul. We're going to see how psychology really doesn't do much for the soul, or psychiatry. But look what he says. Heal my soul. He's moving from the body. You see, he's gone from the outer dimension inside now, and he's realizing, I'm near death, but you've really got to work on my soul. It is as sick as my outward body. For I have sinned against you. There it is right there. This is the whole aches and pains, as I have sinned against God. My enemies speak evil, and they say, when's that old dude going to die? Yea, verse 9, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Betrayal. There's nothing worse for you and me than people that were our friends that have lifted their heel, or they've gone against us and stabbed us in the back, or they betrayed us. So every emotion that you could imagine this guy's going through on his deathbed, and every emotion that you were ever feeling that was hurt, went upon Jesus Christ on the cross. David has so much to say. So in our next message, we want to now divide that third part. We want to look at him talk about the soul. Let's stand and let's rejoice and give God the glory that he is willing to renew and rejuvenate our soul and give us a new birth with a fresh spirit. Lord, we thank you that you are showing us that we are not just a body. We are more than a body. And so many people live just for the body of piercing the body, painting the body, coloring the body, dyeing the body, building up the body, tearing down the body, filling the body, emptying the body, ripping the body, running with the body, jumping with the body, skydiving with the body. They all think it's the body. And then there's another group, Lord, that just thinks inside themselves it's their head. It's getting high, getting low, getting sideways, getting up, getting down, getting in, getting out. They think it's all about their thoughts, and they think it's about their mind and who they think they are and what their viewpoint of the world is and their outlook, as opposed to really saying, heal my soul, O Lord. And then, Lord, there's that group of people that are spiritually inclined, but they haven't been born again. They haven't experienced a second birth, that their spirit has come alive. And we would pray for all that are just in the sound of my voice that know they want God, but they've never been born again, that even in this room, you would say, oh God, forgive me of my sins, because I have sinned against you. I would like to be born again by your Holy Ghost power. And I would like to have a second birth. And I'd like another chance, Lord, at life, that I could declare your goodness to the great congregation of the wonderful things that you do. So forgive me, oh Lord, and give me a new life. And if that's your desire tonight, just accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was crucified on the cross for your sins. God buried him in the grave, and he raised him from the dead, showing you that you can overcome the grave of your body, and that you can have a new birth and a new life, and just enjoy his spirit as he fills you right now, as you confess to him your sins, as David has, for I have sinned against thee. O Lord, heal my soul, and God will do it.